So here we are on a Saturday morning. Thanks for being with us. It's 8 after 10. And think about it. You're in high school, 13, 14, maybe 17. Brisk Saturday morning. And here you are being on the radio with things that you wrote. And sometimes people don't realize how giving folks can be at all ages, but including young adults and kids of all ages. And not only are the four people you're about to meet here on a Saturday morning, but they worked very hard to create something to help comfort other people as well as share stories with others. And it's a pleasure to be able to welcome winners of the 3rd Annual Gildas Club Teen Writing and Art Contest. If you don't know, Gildas Club is a warm and welcoming place where men, women, teens, and kids diagnosed with cancer and family and friends join with others to build support as a supplement to medical care. And you can learn more about Gildas Club of Western Pennsylvania by going to their website, which is simply gildasclubwesternpa.org. And let's meet who we have here. Zachary, I'm going to arbitrarily start with you and say good morning.
Good morning.
And this is Zach Lear. Do you go by Zach or Zachary?
Zach's fine.
Okay. And you're in 12th grade at Riverview High School?
Correct.
And how did you... How did Gildas Club end up being in your life, if you mind my asking?
My teacher was handing out the papers about it, and my best friend, his mom died of pancreatic cancer, and I just knew it was a good story, and they're such great people that the story deserved to be heard, and I felt it was right to write it.
Yeah, that was a good story. Have you thought about what you're going to do after high school yet?
I plan on going to Ohio University and majoring in aviation.
Andy, right there, an alumnus of Ohio University. He can tell you how much he enjoyed his college experiences. but you don't meet many fellow Ohio University. Well, you meet more Ohio State people. But do you want to say hello to anybody who might be listening?
Mom and Dad, any family listening, and Kelly. Hi, good morning. And Ross, my best friend, who is listening this morning.
Is it Ross's mother?
It is.
Because I read all your work, and I remember your story very, very well. And we'll have you all share them in a moment, but I thought it would be nice just to get to know each other a little bit first. Let's turn next to Rama, who is in 9th grade at Fox Chapel. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. And you wrote a story called Faith.
Yes.
And what, well, first, what prompted you to be involved with Gildas Club? Was it learning about the contest and entering it, or have you actually done some things at the club itself?
Well, I was introduced to Gildas Club when my English teacher, Ms. Green, posted this competition, and I thought, wow, this is such a great opportunity to let my voice be heard.
Very good, and I'm glad to hear you. Glad to hear you say voice, because we really believe here in words and audio and speech. Not that video's a bad thing, but we kind of like to focus on thoughts and ideas of that type. So this is your end of your first year at Fox Chapel High School,
yes.
Right? How's the transition been?
It's actually been really well. I'm adjusting very well. Everyone's very nice.
Do you have any advice for anybody that is about to leave middle school?
Just don't be apprehensive and afraid. Everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, it can be a tough transition,
yeah.
I think. You clearly like to write. I remember your story and some of the imagery in it, especially the picture frames, right?
Yeah.
I read that story probably a month ago, but I still remember that imagery in it. Do you keep a journal, and do you do other kinds of writing?
Well, I do write on my own time. I write short stories and poetries, and I have entered some other competitions, but it's mostly for myself.
Well, great. Would you like to say hello to anybody who might be tuned in?
Yeah, I'd like to say hello to my parents, my grandmother, my brother, and also my wonderful English teacher, Mrs. Green.
Terrific. And thanks for being here today. Now, next, we are going to talk to Anandini. Thank you. We had to move a microphone over there. This is Anandini Narayanan. How'd I do? Narayanan?
A little good. It's Anandini Narayanan, actually.
I'll get better. Narayanan. And she's also at ninth grade at Fox Chapel. Did you guys know each other? Are you two know each other?
Yeah, we know each other.
Did you go to middle school together, too?
Yeah.
And you wrote an essay called The C Word, and I also remember your essay quite well. Do you have the same English teacher, Mrs. Green?
No, I have a different one. I'm Miss Polziak.
And tell me more about yourself. Do you like to write? You must.
I like to write, but I'm more about drawing and like art. But I didn't know there was also an art part of this contest, or else I would have entered. But yeah.
Well, that's next year for that. What else do you like to do?
I play the violin and I play tennis. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Would you like to say hello to anybody who might be tuned in?
Yeah, I'd like to say hi to my parents.
Great. And next, we are going to meet the person you just referred to who is involved with the art part of the competition. And her name is Anna Dukovic. And good morning, Anna. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And Anna, you're in 11th grade at Red Bank Valley?
Yep.
High school? Where is Red Bank Valley?
That's New Bethlehem.
Oh, it's nice to see. I didn't say where is New Bethlehem. That wasn't my second. And your story is called Annie's, or your it's a photo essay?
Yeah, it's a photo.
Annie's Time to Shine. And tell me a little bit about photography in your life. When did you find that you had a passion for that?
Well, it was around ninth grade that I started to get into photography. And my mom's side of family is very artistic. And I think my grandpa inspired me to get more into art and stuff.
Yeah, for me, I've never been very good at things like that. And did you find it very natural when you started to do things? I don't know if you draw or paint in addition to taking photographs, but. Has it been pretty easy for you to frame shots, or not easy, but
just
a natural thing for you to think about?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I just love doing it.
What other things do you like to do?
I'm in marching band, and I'm also in golf.
Excellent. What do you play in band?
The bass drum.
That's great. I was in the drum line as well. Bass drum matters a lot. If you make a mistake, the whole band is off.
Yeah.
You want to say hello to anybody who might be tuned in?
I like to say hello to my family and my friends.
Excellent. Thanks. That's Anna Dukovic. And now we're going to have everybody share what they wrote. And in Anna's case, we'll talk a little bit about her photo essay. Why don't we start with Rama, if that's okay? I'm just sort of mixing it up a little bit here.
Sure.
I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. If you need to set up what you're reading or explain anything, feel free. Or if it just stands on itself, just start with the title and head into it. It's a great essay.
Thank you. Well, mine's sort of long, so I'm just going to read the second half of it, but my story is entitled Faith. I saw a copy of Wuthering Heights on the bedside table under a picture frame. I slowly approached the table, taking each step as carefully as if I was walking on glass. I picked up the frame and slid my fingers over its rim. It was trimmed with a band of striped pajamas. I held the frame to my nostrils, took a whiff, and suddenly remembered why the band was there. The pajamas had belonged to my grandfather. When he had passed away, Grandma had carefully cut his pajamas, which she always wore, into long strips. She tied them around everything, including picture frames. The picture inside the frame was from the day my grandfather had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It was of my brother and me, each holding one of our grandfather's hands. It was her favorite. "Darling, are you there, my dear?" I turned around to see Grandma stirring, struggling to open her eyes. Her exuberant, bright voice had diminished to a soft, croaky whisper. "I'm here! I'm here, Grandma!" I called, hurrying over to the seat next to her. I took her hands in mine, feeling the fragile and smooth texture of her wrinkly skin. Her tight lips slowly twisted into a small, wiry smile, and her eyes began to glow with life. "It's been so long since I saw you, dear," she whispered. "Have you been well?" "Fine, Grandma. Are you okay?" I asked softly, afraid to hear her answer. "I'm fine, child. I'm more at peace than I ever was. I'm happier, too. I've come to realize what's important in life." At hearing this, I felt a dagger pierce my heart. "Grandma, can you ever forgive me?" She laughed, but I did not know why. "Forgive you? Darling, I was never mad at you," she replied. "Your grandfather told me every day how you were, so I never worried. He told me you were fine, and I trust him." "I hate myself, Grandma. I hate my very existence. I did everything to make you suffer, to make you pay. And now it's too late to make up for what I've done. Why does God do this? Why does he help those who hurt others and hurt those who help others?" My cathartic outburst did not appear to surprise her. "He knows what to give and what to withhold. Trust in him. He knows what he's doing. Everyone has good and bad aspects in them, and good and bad things happen to everyone. It is our job to live our lives focusing on the good things. If we do this, then nothing can ever hurt us. If we are strong, then everyone stands with us. If we are weak, then we stand alone." "Why? Why was I so stupid and so cruel? I never really wanted to leave you forever," I cried as tears streamed down my cheeks. "You silly girl, haven't I taught you anything? I am always with you, and I will always be with you." "What do you mean?" I tearily questioned as Grandma began to smile again. She mustered enough strength to sit up in her bed and open her eyes as wide as she could. "Humans define life by flesh and blood. We need to touch each other, to feel each other, in order to know that we are together. This is the most absurd thing that I've heard. You don't lose someone because you can't hold their hand." "I'll never leave you, darling. I never will. Even if I might not be around you anymore, I'll always be with you. I'll always be there." "Be with me? Where?" I asked, emotions overriding my senses. "Right there," she exclaimed, and reached out with her hand, touching the left side of my chest. "In your heart." "In my heart?" "That's right. I will always live in you, if you let me." "How?" "Honor me. Respect me. Fight for what I believed in. Remember me. Remember my teachings. If you stay true to your values and to who you are, then I can never die. I will live on in you. Fight the battle I didn't have the courage to fight. Make this world a better place than you found it. My dear, never stop fighting." I felt Grandma's grip loosen on my hands and saw as her stomach slowly deflated. She shut her eyes gently and let her head slowly roll to one side. She was smiling at complete peace. "No!" I yelled. "Don't stop, Grandma! Fight!" But I knew deep inside that Grandma had already won. She had finally come to terms with cancer and hadn't allowed it to dictate how she should feel about herself or the world. Though Grandma had finished fighting, I knew my battle had only begun. I reached into the drawer, pulled out a notepad, and began to write. I wrote and wrote. I wrote about everything I felt, about everything that had suddenly become clear to me. "Are you okay?" I turned around to see the nurse standing in the doorway, my parents beside her. She had a look of surprise on her face to find me sitting so patiently beside my departed grandmother, writing away on a hospital notepad. I sealed the envelope, neatly addressed it to myself, and handed it to my parents. "Mom, Dad, can you hold on to this for later? I asked, and they looked at me with bewilderment. Sure, but why? I've realized my purpose, my meaning in life. I know what I have to do, and the battles I'm gonna have to fight. I want to fight for everyone, not just for myself. I want to fight for those that aren't strong enough to fight for themselves. Mom, Dad, I've realized the true power of fear. We fear death. We fear loss. What we really should fear is fear interfering with how we live our lives. Grandma didn't let fear rule her, but not everyone is as lucky as her. Too many people give up. Let cancer win. Let fear win. It defeated me once, but I'll die before I let it defeat me again. I'll fight it to my last breath. Fear makes us forget what we stand for and makes us forget what is important to us. I don't want to forget who I am or compromise my beliefs. I can't. But if the day comes when I find myself questioning why I made the decision I have, I want something to remind me why. I want to remember why I started fighting. My parents were in tears, but I was stern and silent, filled with solemn determination and fortitude. I went back to Grandma's bedside and held her hand once again. Good night, Grandma. Sleep tight, and don't worry about me. You can be sure that I will remember, and that I will fight. Have faith in me, Grandma. Have faith.
That was Rama Gadzi.
Yes.
We didn't have a chance to check that with each other. And she's in ninth grade. How old are you?
I am 14.
That's quite a story. How old were you when your grandmother passed away?
Well, actually, this was a fictional experience, but what I used was I channeled all the emotions from my other experiences with cancer into this because I didn't want to mention any individuals' names, instead compiling all that into one powerful piece.
Ah, good. You did a good job. Without mentioning names, have you had a lot of brushes with cancer in your family or circle of friends?
Yeah, just some relatives, some family friends who, so instead of just choosing one to write about, I wanted to take all the emotions I felt with all of them and just insert it into one piece.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I want to turn next to Annie, to Anna, and talk about, I need to find out who Annie is. I don't know if it's a single photograph or an essay, or a photo essay. I didn't have a chance to see it.
Yeah, it's a little description of the photo.
Yeah, share it if you could.
Okay. Annie's Time to Shine. My photo is of Annie, who was a pancreatic cancer survivor, talking to a senator staff member about pancreatic cancer during a volunteer trip to Capitol Hill. I am glad I got to spend the day with Annie. She was a cool lady who did not let being sick stop her for standing up for herself. Sadly, Annie died soon after our trip. I only knew Annie for a short time, but I will never forget her. I will continue to volunteer in my memory of my grandmother Rose, who also died from pancreatic cancer, and for Annie.
And you got to meet Annie. Were you going on, a trip to show support or to ask for funding? What was the purpose of your trip?
To ask for funding.
How did that come about, the trip?
My grandmother, of course, died from pancreatic cancer, and my mom got more involved with it, and I support my mom, and I went with her.
That's terrific. Were you close to your grandmother?
She died when I was six, but I always wondered what our relationship would be like if she was still living today.
Yeah, it sounds like she was very young. Do you know how old she was when she died?
I think she was like in her 60s.
Yeah, I mean, just given your age, in general, conditions, I would think she would have been pretty young.
Yeah.
Can you describe, so you have a picture of her actually in the house.
The senators.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, the photo is all black and white except for Annie. She's my main focal point and she's in color. And of course, she's wearing purple from pancreatic cancer. So, and she's talking to the senator and she's like smiling.
And this is in Harrisburg or D.C.?
D.C.
That sounds really neat. And that was Anna Dukovich, 11th grade, Red Bank Valley High School. Now we're going to turn to Kimberly Hayes, or no, we're not. Kimberly isn't here, but Kimberly, Kimberly Hayes, I wanted to mention those who aren't here, wrote an essay called Still Holding My Breath. She's in 11th grade at Hampton, and also in 11th grade at Bald Eagle was or is Hannah Martin, It Will All Work Out, Just Believe. And another art winner, Mandy Demler, 12th grade at Western Beaver High School, and Stairway to Heaven. None of those students could be here with us today, but two others could be. And we're going to, let's turn to Anandini next, and we're going to have Zachary be our final read for today. If you're just joining us, Gildas Club of Southwestern Pennsylvania has had its third annual writing and art competition, and the award ceremony was just about a week and a half ago at Gildas Club in the Strip District, and we have most of the winners here with us this morning. And Anandini, your essay is called The C Word.
Yes. Cancer, the dreaded C word, plays a role in millions of lives. Those who fight cancer head-on by refusing to let it be the cause of their disappearance from the world are those who should be admired. The bravery, courage, and willingness to fight are qualities upheld by many cancer survivors. Today in our society, cancer is becoming increasingly prevalent, affecting people emotionally and physically. However, cancer patients are not alone. Family members and friends will do nothing but stand against cancer until the fight comes to an end. This is expressed in many personal experiences, including mine. Resisting to love one's grandmother is impossible. The thousands of miles separating my grandmother and I are not a barrier to her love. My grandmother lives in the country of India, but she never fails to visit us. Old age is not an obstacle to traveling long hours to reach the U.S. I remember every year our family would go to the airport to pick up my grandma and grandpa. I would hug my grandma and the familiar memories rush into my head. Her soft arms were around me while my head was nestled underneath her chin, and the pleasant smell of her clothes brought a caring feeling. My grandmother would spend several months at my house every time she visited. Sometimes conflicting problems would arise where I wouldn't appreciate her enough, or I would become easily annoyed with her. These feelings usually occurred when her voice would be telling me what to do nonstop. Later on, these small quarrels between my grandmother and I would initiate feelings of regret. From as far back as I can remember, my grandmother's been the healthiest elderly person I've ever known. Since there was never any health-related issues for my grandmother, the news our family received was extremely shocking. I clearly recollect returning from school one day to find my mom sitting gravely on the couch. I knew something was wrong due to her disturbed facial expressions. My mother and Shirley began her sentence. Your grandmother is ill. We're unaware what the cause is. We got a call from the doctors today saying a lump has been found in her breast. We aren't sure whether it is benign or malignant. This sentence took a couple minutes to process in my brain. To be honest, up until this point, cancer was something I knew very little about. At first, I refused to believe this news. My grandmother, one of the healthiest people I knew, might have breast cancer. This news was also shocking to my mother because breast cancer wasn't prevalent on her side of the family. I first had to clear up what the terms malignant and benign meant before I began worrying about my grandmother. I kept thinking to myself about the unfairness of this situation. Why did cancer have to interfere with my grandmother's life, one of the sweetest people I've ever met? My mother reassured me that there were several tests had to be completed before we could make the assumption of cancer. This did nothing to relieve me since I'd rather prefer the straightforward truth. I had to wait 14 gruesome days before I learned the outcome of the situation. Meanwhile, my mother was busy booking tickets to travel to India to care for my grandmother. I was outraged I couldn't go. My mom used excuses such as homework, dance, and violin to prevent me from traveling with her. Finding out whether my grandmother had breast cancer or not was a tedious issue. First, a fine needle biopsy was done to determine whether the lump was malignant or benign. A benign tumor means that a tumor doesn't return or spread to other parts of the body, while a malignant tumor means that the cancer will spread to other parts of the body. The results for the lump were benign, which brought a wave of happiness inside of me. My mom explained that further tests needed to be done, which I secretly opposed. The results were optimistic. Why not just leave it at that? Next, a core biopsy was performed on my grandmother to further inspect the lump. The results for this were again benign. Subsequently, I was 100% positive my grandmother did not have breast cancer. My emotions immediately changed. I was no longer constantly worried. Instead, I was back to my normal self. This happiness lasted about a half a day until it was interrupted by my further news about my grandmother. The doctor said my grandmother's lump repeatedly tested as benign because she had ductal carcinoma. Ductal carcinoma is very rare in older women, and unfortunately my grandmother had it. This flipped my world upside down. Mixed emotions of sadness, anger, and frustration filled me in an overwhelming wave. I evidently remember running to my room and slamming the door, unaware of how to react to this. My mother left for India the next day so she could be with my grandmother during the lumpectomy and any further procedures needed. While my mother was away, I reflected on the many instances I shared with my grandmother. I wasn't always the greatest granddaughter to her, often opposing a reprimanding nature. I also realized how much I took her for granted, whether it be the delicious food she cooked or how she cared for me when I was sick. I never took the time to tell her how much I appreciated all she did for me. Remorse sank deep into my heart thinking about this. Days passed by until a phone call called stating the current status of my grandmother. I answered the phone and hear my mom's tired voice, "Your grandmother is fine." Those were the four words I'd been longing to hear, and a wave of relief calmed me down. My mother explained everything to my father in detail, who then explained it to me. A lumpectomy was performed on my grandmother so the pathologist could further inspect the lump. A frozen section was examined from the lump, which turned out malignant. In other words, my grandmother had breast cancer. Luckily, due to the age of my grandmother, chemotherapy or radiation wasn't necessary to prevent the lump from spreading. My grandmother underwent a mastectomy to remove the lump. Later on, I spoke to my grandmother via telephone. Just hearing her voice brought tears in my eyes. Knowing that I was given another chance to make up for my inappropriate actions meant the world to me. I decided whenever she visited me next, I would hug her like I always do at the airport, but never let go. I learned meaningful information from this experience. I learned that cancer is so limited because it cannot cripple love, shatter hope, corrode faith, eat away peace, destroy confidence, shut out memories, or silence courage. Cancer is a journey in which you do not walk the roads alone for.
That was well written. Now, and that's, I'm assuming, that sounds like it's based on a very true story. The detail is so clear. How is your grandmother now?
She's actually doing better, but actually a couple months after I wrote this, my grandfather got diagnosed with liver cancer.
Oh, my.
So it's actually really close to my heart, so. I'm glad I can share this piece.
So this is her husband.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's. I'm glad you did share it. And there's just so many ups and downs with things like this. If you're just joining us, the students you're hearing are folks that won the Gildas Club writing an art competition. Gildas Club of Southwestern Pennsylvania is a center that provides caring and compassionate support for families experiencing cancer directly, or who have friends, loved ones, or others in their life that are experiencing cancer. It takes a lot of courage to write like this and to share stories. Y'all have done a great job, and Zach Lear, Zachary Lear, is in 12th grade at Riverview High School. Your essay really touched me because you wrote it from a very different perspective, that of a friend's mom, and who sounded like she was a mother to you, kinda, as well as your own Bob, and the impact that her illness had both on your friend and on you, and I'd love to hear it. And this is Zachary Lear.
In my lifetime, I've only had one chance to grow up with one grandparent. The rest passed away due to cancer. Because I was not alive and my grandparents were battling cancer, I never truly understood the effects it had on individuals, friends, and families. Unfortunately, 16 years later, I was about to find out. In school, I wasn't the popular kid, but I had a good group of friends. Although Ross wasn't in my grade, we liked a lot of the same things, and as a result, we became friends. It just so happens that my mom and his mom were friends in high school as well, but due to life circumstances, their paths separated. Our friendship helped rekindle theirs. I was happy to be a part of Ross's life for many reasons, but especially because of the love his family had for each other. I truly admired the relationship between him and his mom. It was truly rare. Ross's mother, Diane, became ill early in my freshman year. She had testing done. However, her doctors were unable to find anything. Suddenly, the worst happened. Results came back that were not good. Diane had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Trying to put myself in Ross's shoes, I realized that she was like a mother to me as well. This was going to be a battle for us all. The first challenge I faced was trying to make sure my friend was okay. He hid his emotions from everyone, but I could tell he was depressed. I wasn't able to get him out of his house very often because he wouldn't leave his mom's side, and I can't blame him for that. It was hard to see that even while Diane was living with cancer, sometimes she was not really living at all. Radiation, chemotherapy, surgeries, wigs, how much can one person take? How much can one family take? Finally, a little while later, Diane received some good news. Her tumor had shrunk and the doctors were talking about removing it once it became a certain size. It's news like this that helps a person rally and remember that the battle is worth living. Unfortunately, that surgery will not get a chance to happen. This is when I started to question everything. How can this happen to a wonderful lady? How can this happen to a wonderful family? What if she dies? In January of 2011, good news came once again. The tumor shrunk back down to its original size. Everyone was happy, and it was a good way to start the new year. Diane's battle was more tolerable for the next several months. Although she still struggled, she was able to get out of bed and enjoy life with her husband and kids. That summer, I was invited to go on family vacation to Cape May, New Jersey. While on vacation, she felt the best she ever was, and she was in great condition. Sometimes, I even forgot she had cancer. After vacation, the months following were very similar until late night one October. I called Ross to see what he was doing, and he was in the hospital with his mom. He assured me that everything was all right, and that she would only be there a couple of days. It was almost my 18th birthday, and my brother was coming home from Afghanistan for a few days. My family and I were so excited, we couldn't wait. After my visit with my brother, I called Ross and he informed us that things took a turn for the worst. October 14th, 2011, we received a phone call with news that Diane was struggling and did not have much longer to live. I will never forget that rainy night when we went to the hospital to visit her. Driving to the hospital, all I could do was cry out of fear of the unknown, for what I was about to see, for my friend, and for his mother. I had no idea what it was like for a family to experience this much pain. When we arrived, the family had gone to eat, except for Ross's dad. He met us outside the room and told us it wasn't good. As we walked in, my heart dropped. I wondered who was lying there in that bed. It looked nothing like her. Diane's battle was clearly coming to an end. I was numb with sadness. There was a hole in her stomach from the treatments. Her body couldn't take it any longer. I was completely devastated. For her, her husband, and her sons. She could not speak, turn her head, or even look at us. The only way we could tell she could hear us was if she squeezed our hand after talking to her. Her mouth was very dry, and we had to moisten it with a sponge. As I watched her husband try, he said to her, "Honey, bite down for me." But there was no movement. He asked again, and for the second time she couldn't. At this point, I didn't know what to do. This cancer took over her body and who she was. The next day was my birthday, and my entire family came over to celebrate it with me. It was a cloudy day, but there was still a lot of fun and laughter. I was sitting outside with my siblings and cousins listening to music. I could hear the phone in my house ring, and suddenly my mom came outside. She looked at me, and when I looked back, I saw she was in tears. I knew exactly what those tears meant, and she told me the whole family was next to Diane when she passed, and it was unexpectedly peaceful. I would like to think that I'm good at helping people with things, but I never experienced anything like this before. I couldn't even come close to think how Ross and his family felt. I pulled out my phone and immediately sent a text to Ross and his brother saying, "I'm so sorry, guys. I know how hard this must be, but now she is no longer suffering. I know that she is up there watching over you guys, smiling, and always will be. Don't forget that she will always be with you, and that if you need anything, I am always here." And as soon as I sent that message, the wind stopped and the hot sun powered through the clouds. It was most beautiful, and through my tears, I looked up and smiled. And I believe it was her. Cancer is a huge problem in our world today. It seems like we've been working on a cure forever. This experience has changed my life and opened my eyes in the fact that all can join in the cause for a cure. Diane lost her battle with cancer on my birthday. We will forever share that day as my journey from heaven and her journey home occurred.
Zachary Lear, that was well written on so many levels. I mean, the empathy for everybody and the storytelling, and something to share. When I read your story, I was having trouble picturing you. And that's a good thing to some extent, because you brought everybody else in that story and what they were feeling to life larger than yourself. I mean, don't get me wrong, you come through very well, but the way that story showcased other people, I thought was very powerful. I don't even know if it was intentional, but it came through that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking, and at first I didn't want to use any names, but then my English teacher said that she thought it would be appropriate, and I just told the story how it went through my mind.
Well, congratulations to each of you. Did anybody want to say something that maybe they meant to say or that I didn't ask that I should have? I really appreciate your being here on a busy weekend. And also the courage to write and share what you wrote. Thank you very much. And good luck in the future. I hope you'll keep in touch with us, too, if you continue to write. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.